Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning and glad to see everybody here. And you know, I was thinking about during the Lord's Supper where Paul says that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Isn't that good news? That's our foundation, isn't it? That God promises us that he's going to perfect us until the day of Christ. And so we just don't give up on him. That's where our trust is, right? That fits, I think, with our theme this year about growing and about building our relationships from the inside out. This is our second lesson with that theme, and I don't know how many. I may do one more lesson, it just depends. But building relationships from the inside out. This week, as I was reflecting on our lesson, I was thinking about the meaning of life, and if I was to take one word and try to define life with one word, I think I would probably choose the word relationship. I think we all know how important to our lives relationship is, whether that be with God, with our church family, with our closest family, our immediate family, husband, wife, our children, mother, father, and so forth. But I think relationship is what life is all about. And I think Jesus will teach that this is true to eternal life. Matter of fact, in his prayer in John chapter 17, when he's praying to the Father, he will say, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, or you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. And so he's talking about a knowledge, and he's not just talking about like the knowledge we gained in school where we studied for a test, we got the facts, and now we know. This is a relationship knowledge, a relationship, a knowledge of intimacy, where we really know the person. And Jesus said, that's eternal life. Eternal life is relationship just as life is relationship. When it comes to our relationship, I want to share this morning that to build relationships, we must connect. There's an element of relationship in which we have to connect with one another. Think about your relationships. The most important relations to you, you have a connection there. You ever been on an important phone call? Especially now with our cell phones, you know, you'll be on that call, and all of a sudden we call it dropping the call, right? You're on a business call, you're in the middle of something very, very important, and all of a sudden, it goes blank, right? There's a disconnect. Remember the old landlines? There might be a click or kind of a buzz or a hum, and there would be a disconnect, and it's frustrating when there's a disconnect in our relationships. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go back briefly to Ephesians and kind of recap what we said last week, real quick, to lead us into our lesson this morning on connecting and how to build, we must connect in our relationship. What I love here is I see growth. I see relationships growing and we're growing together. And that's a beautiful thing in the family of God. And I encourage us to keep doing the things that make for growth in this body, that build relationships together. And connecting is so vital when it comes to our relationships. Chapter 4, where Paul is talking about the unity of the Spirit. Remember, he was going to talk about those areas of service, the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's in verse 11. But verse 12, he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith. And we're all striving, right? We're all striving to attain to that unity which comes through the Spirit, right? Given to us through the Spirit. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature, the mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Then he says, you're no longer tossed here and there by the doctrines, by trickery of men, by the teaching that comes in craftiness or deceitful scheming. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, We are to grow up into all aspects into Him, who is the head. Jesus is the authority at the top, even Christ, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. According to, notice this phrase here that Paul uses, the proper working. The proper working of each individual part, which causes, notice, the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so there we see again the idea of the body, of us working together, and how we stressed last week how critical it is to function as a team, right? Teamwork. We talked for a while about that point, how we are a unit, we are a team, we are working together. We emphasize culture, not that culture per se, but our atmosphere, our culture, that we have to have a culture that is conducive to growth, that causes growth when we come together, that encourages it. And then we stress, lastly, the position that we each are in, or that we don't play it, but you get the sports analogy there, that we have to know what our position, and there's the proper working of each one of us to know what our position is and to play that position. And I did predict that the Broncos would win, right? I don't know, should I predict they're going to win the Super Bowl, Dallas? Okay, I'll... Tyler says, don't jinx them. Remember I said, imagine, I used as an illustration, Coach Kubiak comes out and he says, you know what, today I'm going to put Peyton Manning in as running back. You know, go ahead, you can laugh. Peyton Manning in at running back. We're going to put Brock Osweiler, take him off the bench, put him in defense as an inside linebacker. We're going to remove Von Miller, the great pass rusher, and put him in as quarterback. They're great athletes, some of the best in the world. Are they going to win? No. Why? They're not playing their position. And so we stress the importance in the body, building up our relationship, how we have to play the right position, to know what our position is. I was thinking back, and notice Manning did run though, right? He ran for that first down. That was pretty impressive. I thought to myself with that verse that says, with man, all things are impossible, but are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Even Peyton Manning can run for a first down, right? Amen to that. But to build in our relationships, we must connect. And what does connecting involve? I think there's one element of connecting that's important to all of us. We know this very well, and that's good communication. I'm no expert with communication, but I know it's important. I know it is in my marriage. I know it is with the leadership here. I know it is with my family here. I know it is in every important relationship that I ever have or develop. And when I take it outside of the body and my influence to the world and trying to influence the world, do you think connecting is important there and communicating there? Good communication? Absolutely. I think it's like John Maxwell once said, it's actually the title of one of his books, Everybody Communicates, Few Connect. And that's why I say it's important to have good communication. And I really shouldn't be the one teaching this because I'm not always the greatest communicator. Just ask my wife. But communication is very important. And I'll illustrate that with a story for you. Anybody ever heard of Jorge Rodriguez, the bank robber? Okay, I'm going to tell you about him this morning, about communication and how important it is. Jorge Rodriguez was an old West bank robber from Mexico, operated along the Texas border around 1900. Rodriguez was so successful that the Texas Rangers established a special force to try to stop him. Late one afternoon, one of the Rangers saw Rodriguez slipping across the border back into Mexico. He trailed him at a discreet distance and watched as the outlaw returned to his village and mingled with the people in the square. When Rodriguez went into his favorite cantina to relax, the ranger slipped in and managed to get a drop on him. With a pistol in the bank robber's head, the lawman said, "Jorge Rodriguez, I know who you are. I've come to get back all the money that you have stolen from the banks in Texas. Unless you give it to me, I'm going to blow your brains out." Rodriguez could see the man's badge. He could discern his hostile intent, but there was a problem. He didn't speak English. He began speaking rapidly in Spanish, but the ranger couldn't understand what he was saying because he couldn't speak Spanish. Just then, a young boy came up and said in English, "I can help. I speak English and Spanish. Do you want me to be your translator?" Well, the ranger nodded, and the boy quickly explained everything to Jorge Rodriguez that the ranger had said. Nervously, Rodriguez answered, "Tell the Texas ranger that I haven't spent a cent of the money. If he will go to the town well, face north, count down 5 stones, he will find a loose one there, pull it out, and all the money is behind there. Please tell him quickly." The boy paused and looked back at the ranger and said, "Señor, Jorge Rodriguez is a brave man. He said he's ready to die." Poor Jorge Rodriguez, he couldn't communicate. He couldn't connect either, right? And that's what we're talking about, connecting and communicating. And there's different kinds of communication, is there? We all know, as I stand here before you, I'm communicating to you with more than just my words. May not be good, but I'm communicating. The way I move communicates. The way I sound communicates. My voice, my tone, the words that I choose to use, all of that communicates something to us. We call it verbal, right? I think that's what separates us from other life forms. One thing that we can communicate. It's a good thing. It's a blessing that we can communicate to one another. You know, our Lord, he will leave us the example of both. He communicated, and his communication was from heaven. Matter of fact, go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, Jesus will even say, "I didn't speak on my own, that the words that I came to bring to you were not of my own, but they were given to me by my Father." If you look at verse 48, we won't read all of this. He's already, if you back up, you'll back up and you'll read about Jesus again foretelling of his death as he does several times throughout his ministry. He says in verse 48 of John chapter 12, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. It is the word that I spoke. That is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative." My communication, I didn't communicate on my own or speak on my own initiative. But notice, the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment. He's told me as to what I should say, as to what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things that I speak just as the Father has told me. So God has communicated to the world. Heaven's voice has come down through Jesus to us today. Reminds me of what the Hebrew writer said in chapter 1:1-2, that God, after he spoke, notice he said God after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets. Many portions, right, in many ways in the last days. He has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. And then he goes on to say these marvelous things about Jesus. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature, and that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And so we see there that God spoke and spoke in the last days through Jesus. So there are the words in which we communicate. And then there's more than words in which we communicate. And Jesus will teach this principle to us too. This really caught my attention when I read it this week. A UCLA psychologist discovered that face-to-face communication can be broken down into 3 components. Words, tone of voice, and body language. Does body language communicate? Absolutely. Absolutely. You've seen it. You know what I mean. Listen to what this guy went on to say. I thought this was very fascinating. He said that what we say accounts for only 7% of what is believed. What we say, 7%. The way that we say it accounts for 38%. So how it is said, the inflection, the tone, how it is said accounts for 38%. But then he said, what others see, what they observe, what they watch, accounts for 55%. That's communication. We communicate in so many different ways. You know, it was even prophesied of our Lord that he would communicate in some at some points in his ministry without words. It was prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 53 and verse 7 that he was oppressed and was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. Remember, he was silent, our Lord was. He didn't speak. If you go over to John 19 quickly, go to John chapter 19. Remember the governor, Pontius Pilate. He's put him on trial. The Jews have really put him there. They want him crucified. They're going to release a criminal and take the innocent Son of God and put him on the cross. It had to be that way, though. It had to be for you and I to have life. For you and I to have redemption. It had to be this way. But it's interesting how Pilate finds, it'll say in John, no guilt in him. I believe it was three times. I find no guilt in this man. But if you get down to chapter 19 and verse 9, when he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? Where are you from? They're upset at him for claiming to be the Son of God, God in the flesh. Jesus gave him, notice, no answer. Did he communicate? He's going to talk again. He's going to communicate with words. But he gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, you don't speak to me? Question. Do you not know that I have authority to release you? And I have authority to crucify you? Then Jesus, he did answer. And he said, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Because Jesus will show us over and over that God has all authority. Ultimately, he has handed that authority down to Jesus, whom has all authority in heaven and on earth today. I like what Maxwell once said, if your face is going to talk for you anyway, you might as well have it communicate something positive. Amen? Communicate positively by our expressions as we connect in our relationship. Moving on, number two, we connect by, and this is important to us as well, making effort in our relationships. And I love it. I see all kinds of effort here. We need to continue that. Making effort to relate. Relate. Notice relation. Relate. We relate to one another. And sometimes we have to go out of our way. And this is where I think the concept that we hear in our culture today. How many times have you heard my personal relationship with Jesus? I encourage you to go study the scripture and look for your personal relationship. Independent of the church, your personal relationship with Jesus and see what you find. Now, I'm not saying we cannot personally have a relationship with it. I think you get the idea. It's not exclusive from the church. Excluded. The church is the body and we are individually, you've heard the scriptures 100 times, individually members of one another. That's each other. We're not separated. We can think we're separated. But in God's eyes, we are not a separated people. I was thinking about those commercials of old, and or you go to a toy store, you can even see it on the back of a big toy. Let's say it's something that you put together for the kids, and it'll say, no assembly required, right? It's already built. It's already put together. No work needs to be done. But that's not the case in the church. Assembly is required because our lives aren't perfect and all put together. And God knew that, right? Is there anybody whose life is perfect and put together? Please raise your hand. We need each other. We need each other every day in our relationships. I was reading again. I've been reading a lot of stuff, haven't I? I'm trying to read and find some illustrations and various things to kind of illustrate my point. Remember, we're trying to connect by making effort to relate. This is in a business context, okay? So Jay Hall was a guy from a consulting firm called Telemetrics. Never heard of that before. But he studied the performance of 16,000 executives. They're high, right? Executives, they're way up at the top. He studied their performance. 16,000 executives. And he found a direct relation or correlation between achievement, how high they rose or their company rose, achievement and the ability to care for and connect with people. We would agree with that, wouldn't we? That's, I think, probably pretty obvious. Because if they don't care and connect with people, what's going to happen to their company? It's not going to amount to much. At least it's not going to amount to what it could if they had cared for and connected with people. In our world, as we're looking at building relationships from the inside, in me, in our body, but then also the outside going out into the world. Remember we said discipleship is relationship. It's building connections and relationship. Which means that Jesus, if he came to make disciples, he placed high, high emphasis on the value of people. Matter of fact, that's his whole life. How important people, or you could say souls, were. And what's the value of anything but the price that's being willing to be paid for that, right? This is not worth anything unless we'll pay for it. Our house isn't worth anything unless somebody is willing to pay for that amount. And what's the value? What was God willing to pay for the world? That's right, Dallas, everything. The life of his son, pouring out the blood of his precious son to take the place of you and I, the guilty. Innocence. I always marvel at the place of the guilty. And that shows you the value of each other. And not just the value of the church, we're blood bought, but those out in this world that we interact with every single day. And I want to encourage us to work on our connecting in that area, those that are outside. Let me leave with you in the remaining part of this lesson real quick a few ways to help us connect. And you know these already, but I'm just reminding us. Number one, go out of our way. How do we connect with one another? Be willing to go out of our way for one another, right? Jesus will call this the extra mile. That's all that is. Extra mile principle. Finding a way, go out of our way to relate, to help, to encourage, to serve. Whatever it is we can do, the opportunities come our way. Go the second mile. Number two, ask questions about someone else's life. And this is important. I need to learn to listen more. Ask questions and listen more. I need to listen more. You ever been around a person that completely monopolizes a conversation? I don't mean they talk a lot. I mean they never let you say anything. You ever been around one? I know. I've had some. Well, I'll just leave it at that. But you can't say anything. You can't get a word in edgewise, even if they're asking you questions, you know? And if you do research on this, you'll find that, matter of fact, look in your own life and experiences, those that you would say, I admire that woman and man. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe you say in a business world, in success, from a physical standpoint, you say, I admire that woman. You will find somebody that doesn't monopolize a conversation. Oh, they'll talk, but it's not all about them. Matter of fact, many of them are more interested in you and about your life than about their own life, about hearing your life than expressing their very own life. It's good to ask questions of one another and listen. And thirdly, go have some fun together. That's not hard. This church likes to have fun. We know that. There's all kinds of hunting that goes on and fishing. The ladies get together. Hey, there's room for everybody here in this family. It builds relationships. We connect together when we come together and we have a little bit of fun. Life, remember, as we close, is relationship. To build those relationships, we must connect. To connect, we have to have good communication, right? And by making effort to relate to one another, we do that by going out of our way. We do that by asking questions and listening to someone else's life and getting together and having some fun. Those are three ways that can help us to connect. Tyler's got our song, and that's the lesson, and the invitation is yours. If we can encourage you, help you, spur you on to serve the Lord, or help you obey the gospel this morning, be baptized into the name of Jesus, we can do that as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.